I'd like to welcome everybody to the June 28th, 2021 Selectmen's Meeting. Y'all join me by saluting the flag, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Russ Dan.
Boyd Chimes.
Brian Brock.
Pat Moran.
And just show that Sue hasn't showed up. I haven't heard anything, so I'm assuming she'll just show up late.
I don't think she's going to make it.
No?
I don't think so.
Well, you should talk to her.
She said she may not be here.
Okay. All right. To start off, I'd like to review and approve the public minutes of June 14th, 2021. Anybody have any, I guess, a motion and then...
I move to accept the June 14, 2021 minutes as presented.
I'll second that.
Seeing no discussion, all those in favor?
Russ.
Boyd.
Brian.
I was not in attendance.
Okay. We still have a quorum. Okay. Now we have the non-public of June 14th, 2021.
I move the non-public minutes from June 14th be accepted as presented.
Second.
Any discussions? Seeing none, all in favor?
Russ.
Boyd.
Brian. And Patrick. Abstain. Okay. Good. Now I know we had a couple other things before we got to the New Hampshire DOT, but I asked Jason Trombley and David Scott if they wanted to get moved up, so if the board doesn't have any objection, I'd like to move them up.
Not here.
So, Jason and David, this is in reference to the bridge over the North Branch, 127.
Share screen so people can zoom up there and see it?
Sure, yes. I believe so.
Okay. So I'm sorry, I need to share screen.
Yes.
There's only one bridge, right?
Pardon?
There's only one bridge we're talking about.
Correct.
Just three of them there? Oh, this is...
That's the one that they're talking about.
Okay.
And while we have a minute, I just want to welcome Mr. Gatsis here tonight. Thank you for showing up.
Thank you. Certainly, if you need anything, feel free to holler anytime.
All right, sir. Thank you. We may.
Money.
We have some big ideas in the near future here.
And it's very near future.
That's why he put you in charge, Jason?
Yeah, he lets me present, and he gets the technology. Let's see, okay, so...
Name?
Yeah, please just announce your names.
Okay, yep, and if anybody needs to move chairs so they can see the screen, in case I don't want everybody to miss it. My name is Jason Trombley. I work with the New Hampshire Department of Transportation as a senior project engineer in the Bureau of Bridge Design. Sorry, with my back, everybody. Want to introduce yourself, Dave?
David Scott, I am the in-house design chief for NHDOT's Bureau of Bridge Design.
And we're here today, tonight, to present the Candy Raymond 43221 Public Officials Public Informational Meeting. We gave the same presentation last week at the Raymond Bureau of Selecting Meeting because there's two bridges in Candy and one in Raymond, so I didn't want to interrupt you when you're saying one, but there are three bridges. One,
okay.
From west to east, you've got New Hampshire Route 27 over North Branch River. 500 feet to the east, you've got New Hampshire Route 27 over Bean Brook. And then about 3/4 of a mile further to the east on 27, it's over Lamprey River in Raymond. Here's a sort of blow-up map of the area. And you can see 43 off to the west, 107 to the east, and 27 is connecting. But with the bridges are in this area where 27 is connecting. We do have a prepared environmental statement that I will try to paraphrase, and we'll be giving it to us by our environmental manager, but the New Hampshire DOT must investigate the potential impacts that our products will have on the surrounding natural, cultural, and social environments. And as part of our, in accordance of Section 106 of the National Historic Preservation Act, the department has reviewed the project area to determine if there are historic resources within the area that would be impacted by the construction of this project. At this time, we've not identified any cultural resources within or immediately adjacent to the project area, but nevertheless, Section 106 of the National Historic Preservation Act offers those individuals or organizations with a demonstrated interest in potential impacts to historic resources to have an opportunity to become consultant parties under Section 106. And the next slide will have the contact information of our federal highway contact. At the same time, we've also evaluated the area for potential environmental resources. It's ongoing, and we have a list of resources here, and a few more slides ahead, I will discuss a few more of those resources. So anybody that's interested can reach out to Jamie Sikora. If I can give you this information through the email if necessary. So that way, if anybody has an interest in the historic properties, they can reach out as necessary. So since both bridges and Candy are within 500 feet of each other, I want to talk about those both first, because they're sort of, the traffic control of both is going to be pretty much the same because they're so close to each other. The North Branch River Bridge, it was constructed in 1932, and it was widened to both sides in 1972.
5 to 8.
It's a 23-foot long span concrete slab.
As we age, it's sort of...
It's...
Right over here.
No, that's... thank you. The bridge...
It's not muted, is it? The red light's lit up on the mute. Just curious.
So.
Okay.
The bridge width is 44 feet. That gives you a 12-foot travel lane and a 10-foot shoulder. Once you get off the bridge, you have 32 feet of roadway width. You still have the 12-foot travel lane, but it narrows down to a 4-foot shoulder. This bridge sees about 3,500 vehicles per day. And about 4% trucks. The state has a maintenance and preservation list for certain tier roads, and these all three bridges fall within a tier 3 and 4. So we try to prioritize our list of projects that we want to do preservation work on, so we can keep our good bridges in good shape. This one is currently number 92 on our 2020 M&P list. The deck, the superstructure, and the substructure are all sixes, which are in satisfactory condition. And so this is ripe for preservation work to keep it in a satisfactory condition.
What does a preservation mean? Just checking cracks, filling cracks, and paint
or whatever?
I'll explain
a little more, but it, like a guy I work with explains it best. It's sort of like when you fix the shingles on your roof. You know, you don't wait till your roof leaks before you fix it. So, you know, I'll explain the work, but it's mainly removing the pavement and membrane, seeing if any cracks within the deck to fix those. And then sometimes we have joints at the end that we fix, and we do try to do that every 20 years as a 20-year maintenance cycle.
The expansion joints?
Expansion joints, yeah. Yes. And these are so small that they aren't any expansion joints,
right,
but we'll still put in a crack seal at the end. So the North Branch River, the picture to the left, you're looking west. Island Road is off in the foreground there, off to your right. You can see the bridge in the background. The picture to the right is, I was on the north bank, take the picture looking downstream to the south. So while we were out, was on my field trip a while back there, you can see some transverse cracks in the pavement, so that's something we're going to address. And it's somewhat difficult to see, but where the bridge was widened to both sides in the early 70s, there's a white line of latenance there that is sort of leaking between the old bridge deck and the widened bridge deck. So that's something we're going to address as part of the project. The other bridge, 500 feet to the east, Bean Brook, similar, you know, setup. It was constructed in 37, widened in 72, 23-foot single span. This one's a concrete box, not a concrete slab. You've got the same bridge width and bridge roadway in this area as well. same amount of vehicles, same amount of trucks. This one's a little higher on our priority list. It's number 57, but the deck and super are sixes and the substructure's a seven, which is, the seven is considered a good category. So another bridge, good preservation work at this point in time. Some pictures here, you're looking to the east. Bean Island Road is off to the left in the background, and this is looking from south to north on the Bean Brook Bridge. Once again, some cracks in the pavement that we're going to address, and I didn't have my hip waders on that day to get in the water, but this has had some maintenance at that widening joint on both sides of the widened bridge that we'll address.
Question.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, could you explain that maintenance?
So what happens is when the salt water gets into the concrete deck, it causes, there's a chemical reaction within the concrete that causes that white latenance. And so that sometimes will show up. It almost, depending on if you get under bridges like I do, sometimes it almost looks like, not, is it stalactites or stalagmites?
Yeah.
That come, and it's just,
yeah, what you're saying,
and
yeah.
It's so, and so, you know, this isn't that bad at the present moment, but there's other ones where you can see a lot of it where it's leaking down. And sometimes when you're underneath the deck, you can also see like rust spots because the salt laden water is getting into the reinforcing and it's causing a chemical reaction with the steel that'll cause the rust, that'll cause the concrete to spall and pop off. Right. So that's what we're trying to address with this work here.
Very good. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sorry I didn't see you. If just speak up and okay. I appreciate anybody with all the questions. So our natural resources out here, it's a lower perennial tier 3 stream. The North Branch River is within the 100-year floodplain. It's also an outstanding resource water and watershed and the designated natural river. Bean Brook is relatively similar. Some of our, when we, wetland delineations, we have forested scrub shrub and emerging wetlands. We've got some wildlife out there and some endangered and threatened wildlife species that we will be aware of so we don't impact them as we're doing the construction out here. This is just showing off to the left there that Bean Brook and the North Branch River in that light blue area, that's the 100-year floodplain. So they are both in the floodplain, and we'll make sure we don't impact that with the work we're doing. This is a slide that shows our wetland delineation. So as we need to access underneath the bridge, we'll make sure that we minimize the impacts to the wetlands around North Branch and Bean Brook. The bridge preservation work, like it's, you know, we remove and replace the bridge pavement with the membrane on top. Once you get out there, the concrete deck, they'll sound it. If they have hollow sounding concrete, they'll patch, do partial depth patching there. On those areas that have the latenance going all the way through, that'll be a full depth deck repair. And then the 23-foot long bridge, we just put a 6-inch crack control. So as the bridge moves a little bit, it has limited movement, but that crack control material will cause the crack to happen at that area, not in the pavement. So we'll address that. So with both bridges, I looked at two options of traffic control. This is where I want your opinion, please, when you get to it. We were thinking, we looked at one phase, we were gonna close these two bridges in this area and detour traffic around the site. We also looked at two phases where in phase one, because of the width, would only be able to maintain one lane of alternating two-way traffic to the north, controlled by signals. And then once that phase was done, we could, with the next phase, would have 24 feet to maintain two lanes in phase two. And I've got some schematics coming up. So with the one phase option we looked at, it was about an approximately 26-day closure, so wow. It'd be 5 weeks on the detour. Yeah, with jackhammering out the concrete and putting it back, it is sort of labor intensive. It's not like some where you can just sort of slide in a bridge and do some things. So it takes a bit of time. The two bridges combined would be about $525,000 for the work and the associated traffic control. And as I was looking at some detour routes, from Candia Four Corners to the intersection of 27 and 107 east on 27, it's about 3.6 miles for through traffic. And I was looking at a detour on 43 and 107, that's about 8.8 miles. So any through traffic on New Hampshire 27 would have to travel an additional 5.2 miles for that 5 weeks.
What time frame are you looking to start this?
This, there's a slide further on, but we're advertising the project at the end of August, and then we would do it in the construction season of 2020, which construction season can go from like April 1st to November 1st, but sometimes when we're trying to close road, when we propose closing roads, we try to do it in the summertime so we can avoid the school buses if there's any on 27, try to minimize impacts to the traveling public. Well, this is emergency routes that I'm going to discuss in a second, but try to minimize those, see if there's other ways to get around. But that's, with the other time frames, typically if there's still a lane of traffic in each direction, the contractor can start April 1st if they truly want to. But we can also, depending on the input we get.
In 22?
2022, yes.
Correct. So that's when you're proposing to start it?
Correct, yes. The construction season of 2022.
Okay.
So as I was looking at the emergency routes, I came from Candy at Four Corners, but it's about 2.4 miles to the closure at Island Road. And then from Four Corners, they went north on 43, cut over Critchett Road, came down Island Road, it's about 3.6 miles. So the emergency vehicles would have to travel about an additional 1.2 miles if the bridge was closed to do this work. For the two-phase option for these bridges in Candia, it's about approximately 23 days per phase, so we'd have 4 to 5 weeks of alternating one-way traffic controlled by signals to the north for the first phase, and then when we got to the second phase, would have a lane of traffic in each direction on a 24-foot wide width, which makes it a little narrower. This is about $100,000 more than the one-phase alternative. It's about $615,000 for both bridges. And so this is just a schematic of, north would be, this is heading east, so north would be to the left of the page, and the 16-foot lane width there is the two alternating two-way traffic, so that's controlled by the signals. The work zone's off to the south, and then after phase one is done, we would shift traffic to phase two, where we've got the 24-foot two-way traffic, so you've got about an 11-foot travel lane and a 1-foot shoulder. So you still got the travel way you're used to, but the shoulder is much narrower because we need to do the work to the north. As we go further to the east, 3/4 mile, the Raymond Bridge, constructed in 32, widened in 74. This one's a 65-foot three-span bridge, concrete T-beam, same bridge width, same roadway width, a few less vehicles per day, a few more percentages of trucks. This one is the one that's highest on our priority list, and so when we looked at this one, okay, we want to work on this one, we decided to bundle the other two bridges in Candy together to get some economy of scale while the contractor's out there. They can, they'll be out there to be able to do the work pretty quickly and get three bridges done. The deck is 6, the super is 6, and the sub is 7, so it's all satisfactory and good. Good preservation candidate for work. This is looking east on 27. As you get around the corner, you come up to the intersection of 27 and 101. This is the south elevation, look from the south looking upstream. And then there's the Dudley Road Bridge further upstream in this picture. Really can't see it, but it is there. This is where the latency really shows up. You can see that white seam underneath the bridge there, and then I got to zoom in on it. So it's really, this is more like the stalactites or stalagmites. I still don't know which one's right. And then you can see some of the shading there, that is the reinforcing that's starting to get ready to spall because it's corroding. The resources out here, this is a tier three stream as well. The Lamprey River is within the 100-year floodplain and also the floodway. There's some shoreline protection there. It's a designated rural river. The wetlands, there's some forested and emergent wetlands, some wildlife out there, and some endangered and threatened species as well that we will protect while we're working on the project. This is the same picture as before. I figured if people went to our website to see this, they would all be in order. So this is the same exact picture. This one just shows that, this red and blue hatching is the floodway, and the light blue is the floodplain. We did get wetland delineations out here as well, so when we have to access, we'll minimize those impacts to the wetlands that we have out there. Same bridge preservation work, so nothing changed there. This one, because of we didn't have Island Road, and Bean Island Road there, we thought, okay, we don't need to close this one down, or at least try to make it go quicker. So this is two phases, 20 days per phase, because you're only working on the one bridge. So about 4 weeks of the alternating one-way traffic, and about 4 weeks of the two-way traffic at a cost of $425,000. This is the same visual, except the bridge is a little different underneath, but 16 feet to the north in phase one, and 24 feet of two lanes in phase two. This one would also be controlled by signals during phase one. So some of the input, when we come up to the town to gather input, if we are allowed to close the Candia bridges, would there be a preferred closure time? If you don't want to close, you can let us know, and we've got an alternative to take care of that. Are there additional emergency response routes that I wasn't thinking about when I was looking in Google Earth? Is there mutual aid with other towns? When we went to Raymond, I think they said they had mutual aid with Candia.
Yeah, we pretty much have mutual aid with all the bordering towns.
Okay.
So.
School bus routes, just sometimes if we're, you know, when we have that one lane of alternating one-way traffic with signals, if the school buses are on there, they may have to wait a cycle, which could be six or seven cars during regular time, and some of the peaks, like the AM and PM peaks, when you got the majority of traffic, might be 12, 13 cars. So there might be a little time there where they have to wait a minute and a half, possibly.
Yeah, I was only thinking of two things. The school was one of them, but then the other thing was, obviously, it won't be affected if you do it in the spring, but Deerfield Fair. Because if you reroute traffic over there that way, it's already going to be impacted by the fair. So.
And
I'm sure you thought of that anyway. But
I forget Deerfield Fair is in
September.
September.
First October into September, yeah.
Okay, and that's, yeah, I had a project over in Deerfield, and they reminded me of that as well. So
okay.
I'm aware of the fair, and with the work we're doing here, even with the three bridges, you know, we can put limitations on that. The contractor can impact traffic during Deerfield Fair. But with the work we're trying to do, I feel like the contractor can get it done well before the end of September.
Yeah.
Excuse me. If there was any bicycle and pedestrian concerns on that section of 27, and then any other concerns that you may have. I've got two more slides and we can have the dialogue. But like I was saying, the add date's August 31st of this year, and I say construction summer of 2022. Maybe I should call it construction season, because New Hampshire has two seasons, right? Winter and construction season. So typically, yes, our by spec, we're allowed, the contract can get out there April 1st and November till November 1st. But you know, if we have a good winter, sometimes on other projects, they might want to get out there earlier. Something like this, with it just being, you know, a couple months for work. But we're anticipating them working on both, well, there'll be language in the contract documents that they need to work on both bridges in Candy at the same time, because they're not going to set up one traffic control
right
500 feet down the line. You know, depending on 3/4 mile down in Raymond, that could probably be done separately, depending on what we figure with the two bridges in Candy. They could work on one when they're setting the concrete there, work on the other one, and sort of
right
piggyback
yeah
and leapfrog back and forth to economize their time. And so that's all I had. And if just anybody, if I can select, well.
Chief, did you have any other concerns?
I prefer to have one lane open and use a traffic control with the lights. Myself,
as opposed to closing it and rerouting them?
Yeah, that's my thoughts, but we can get by either way. I mean, we have mutual aid with Raymond, Deerfield. We can get down Cratchit and get up there. So we have ways to provide services.
Cratchit may be a little bit longer for our mutual aid to go that route, and that's a tougher road. It's even though
you
it's
can't
only
go as fast, correct?
Correct. It's a tougher climb, but
I'd rather have access on the road. So if we need to get over to Raymond, they need to get over here, we can do it.
They felt the same way when we visited them last Monday.
Yeah.
And like I said, it was just sometimes I like to just have the conversation, because we have gone to some towns that are like, you're only going to close the road for 2 weeks, and this is, that's other projects where we can replace a bridge quickly with maintenance preservation work. And sometimes, like I was saying, you got to jackhammer out the concrete. You just can't like take it. It's got to be a little more refined, because you're trying to keep some of the existing deck. So if you know your preference is to keep a lane open, just wanted to make you aware that in phase one it is going to be controlled by signals, and we'll be out there longer because of the time frames. But like I said, it can still probably get all done in that summertime closure. Or sorry, that window of summertime. And if there are, you know, if the school gets out at a certain time and we don't want to impact the school buses, we could, you know, put language in the contract to say, okay, don't do the work till then. But if there's school buses can still get by with the signal, we can have them work, whatever. So that's, we'll just come up to the town, get their input.
It should be plenty wide enough for a fire truck, school bus.
Yes.
So I don't see an issue with that.
Okay. Yes.
Now, if we have the lane control, would the emergency override the signal?
Yeah, it's Opticon, right?
Opticon.
I always get confused if it's COM, but there is Opticon, so the emergency vehicles can override the signal. Correct.
We don't have it, the fire trucks have it, I believe.
Yes. And then the temporary signals we put up for the control, I think it can detect it, and there's language within our contract about how the signals have to have that Opticon, the emergency override.
And we can provide you a transmitter for the construction season.
Oh, all right. Great.
Well, during the first phase.
Behind you.
Oh.
My name is Albert Hall, Adamsville, Candia. I am the town of Candia's representative to the Lamprey River Advisory Committee.
Okay.
Just a point of information. Necessary to you, given that the Lamprey River Advisory Committee always gives comments. When there's anything within a few hundred feet of the river, and I presume that's what's driven over the river, so do you plan to make a presentation to the committee, or is it necessary legally? You don't have to do that because you're a state.
I'm not sure.
So we don't come out to make presentation. I've never been asked to come out to an advisory committee for a river. Our Bureau of Environment, I am certain, has reached out to your organization.
DES.
Through DES, yes, that would make sense. So if there's something compelling about this project, however, the most invasive actions we will be doing to the river will be putting some scaffolding in the water to get access to the underside. We aren't doing any channel work apart from.
You're not preventing the fish from going up and down the stream?
We aren't putting any, we will have, like I said, scaffolding in the water, but beyond that, the fish will be able to find their way through.
If you could provide the information to the Lamprey River Advisory Committee, and I think the DES has our information.
What about that?
I'm just curious about it. I have not heard anything.
What about a polywalk?
What the poor turtles?
Albert Hall. Okay. Good thing that's once again I brought things for a reason.
Good. No. Does the board have anything else? Chief, you all good?
I'm good.
Good. Okay.
Jeff, you got any input, questions? No?
No.
Oh, sorry.
That's why I
still let him.
What'd you forget?
The municipal work zone agreement and.
Uh-oh.
I know. Well, it's just.
It's going to cost $600,000.
No.
Well, we will have to. If we needed anything, who's here, remember?
Yeah. you don't want to play that card yet. Yeah. This one's low impact.
Okay.
So there are some communities with laws on the books that say if someone is doing work in their community on the roads, the town's police officers must be present to provide traffic control. The state of New Hampshire understands state statute to be that when we are doing a project on our roads, we are responsible for traffic control. That doesn't mean that we will never call the town of Candia police to ask for assistance, but it means that we don't necessarily intend to have the Candia Police Department there 24/7 overseeing the traffic control. So we have a municipal work zone agreement that spells this out, and we would ask that the town would enter into that with the department to save headbutting during construction. We don't need it signed tonight. And we do ask that you discuss it with your chief of police before signing on, but that is a agreement that we enter into before we start any project.
I think it's only fair we sign it because we don't even use our own police force when we do our own town jobs.
Fair enough. We are happy to walk out of here with a signature, but we aren't expecting.
We'd be happy to sign it.
I don't have any problem with that.
Yeah, good with it.
Okay.
I would move we sign that municipal agreement to accommodate the DOT personnel here tonight.
I'll second that. Any discussion? Ian, then?
Ian?
I'll second that.
He did.
Oh, okay.
I voted in.
Yeah, I'm in.
I'm in.
Yep.
Unanimous, okay. What is it, just three copies of the same document?
Yeah. Yep.
Date and sign?
Yep, please. And we'll take it back, get our upper level management to sign off, and then we'll forward a copy back to you. One will go in the contract and the other will be for our own records.
I assume you take care of all the DES permits and everything in the SP?
We take care of all the DES permits.
Okay.
That's sometimes the hardest part of the project.
Somebody has to witness and witness.
I would think so, yep.
What is somebody on?
Is one copy ours or is?
We'll send one back to you after DOT has signed off.
When you're saying the concrete, is that something like happened down in Florida? They're talking about the salt water and that?
Oh, geez, don't even bring that in.
You're talking about the building collapse? Yeah, I haven't read much about it. I'm not sure what the issue is there, but yeah.
They haven't determined yet.
No, I don't think they have.
They're just saying different things that
could have led to it.
Yeah, right.
Nothing. Awful.
Yeah.
Thank you. Nobody else? Nobody's got any other questions? Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Have a good night.
Yes, you too.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
All right. Now back to the order. LED street lighting.
Al?
Oh, I'm up?
You're up.
You're up.
At the June 7th meeting, the board, thank you, agreed.
We've got
to go.
Latest
this,
one.
This is a later version.
Oh, all right.
How's that different?
Is that later than this one, or?
This is the finished document, redone by Affinity.
Okay. After they get the input from?
Correct.
Primex and all that?
Yes.
Thank you.
So that's done.
Okay.
No corrections, nothing else to do on that. So the board agreed to move ahead with the LED conversion, and then it was sent to town council for review. And town council, of course, wanted to change some language and other items in there. And one of the items, one of the articles that he changed the language of, and I'd have to be a lawyer to understand it, was something having to do with insurance. Therefore, the contract went to Primex.
Right.
For them to review. Primex approved it. It looked good. And then once we had the changes from the lawyer and the approval from Primex, it was sent back to Affinity and said, hey,
Are you guys okay with this? We made these changes, and what do you think? Tell me if there's any objection. They did not object, but they put together this new contract, finished form, no corrections. It's the language is done according to what the lawyer wanted and according to approval by Primex. So the changes incorporated in this form that you have, this agreement form that you have in front of you, is what everybody has agreed to. And now our next step in this process, and this is our big step for the town, is to figure out where the heck our streetlights are. I know the chief knows a lot of them, but even Eversource, as I mentioned at the last meeting, they don't know, they don't have a current inventory.
Because they say a group, and it could be one in that group, or it could be 10, right?
Yeah. They don't know.
Yeah.
So, in order to get this new GIS assessment of the streetlights, Affinity LED is requiring a signature on the newest document with the approved changes and a 50% deposit for the cost of the project. Now, just to review the numbers, the total project cost is $12,489.02. 50% would be $6,244.51. And once the entire project is done, Eversource will give us an incentive rebate of $3,600. So those are the numbers, but Affinity, to get started with the actual GIS mapping, needs a contract signature and the $6,244.51.
Article 29.3 says they want 50% of $28,489.02.
Is that on the form I just handed you?
Yeah.
That's wrong.
Shoot.
What article?
What did I say? 29.3.
Wow.
Yeah, good catch.
And that's an interesting catch, because the first contract they sent me, that was the number that was on there, and I called them up and I said, why is that number on there? And they said, whoops, that's a line from another contract. So, they got to redo this again.
Yeah.
We're not going to redo it for them.
No, no, you shouldn't have to. I will call them in the morning. Thank you for
catching that.
Boy's
our number.
Because I haven't had time to review this revised contract.
Yeah, right. On the other one, it's correct.
Right.
Right.
But this,
on this one,
that's the one I corrected the first time.
Yeah.
Okay. And for some reason, when they put this document together, holy smokes,
is this
they
gonna hold
went
us
back
up?
To the old.
Is this going to hold us up now? I mean,
well,
a couple weeks?
I'll get this tomorrow.
Okay.
If you get that tomorrow, we can make
why don't we authorize him to sign it? We'll
okay.
Get corrected.
Thank you.
Contract.
That, yeah.
As soon as you get it back here, they'll let me know.
I'll get the revised form. I'll send it to Linda.
For Article 29.3 has been amended.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I haven't had time yet, but I really want to read the whole thing.
Okay.
To see if it matches with the lawyer's suggestion, and
okay,
make sure that. But I just haven't had time to read it through yet.
Okay. Well, we're going to authorize Brian to sign it.
Okay.
Provided you make that correction to that article 15.3.
Yeah. I'll get that tomorrow. That's
okay.
But a qualification that you know, this 24.89.
That's the number.
That can go.
Yeah, that's
up
right.
Or down. Because depending upon how
on
many
the number
lights
of lighting.
Based on the light.
Yeah.
And the other end of it, maybe they find some, like our parking lot lights out here, they might say there, and if you want those in it,
right.
It would be this.
Sure.
So all I'm trying to say is this is That's the only thing that's not...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we realized that that was a guesstimate anyway, so...
Yeah. So, Al, it's inconceivable we don't know how many lights we have in this town, you know that.
But we will, right?
Eversource is just billing on a rough guesstimation of how many lights we have.
That's a way to run a business, isn't it?
You want to make a motion?
Yeah.
Yeah, I move that we authorize Brian to sign the agreement with Affinity, provided Article 15.3 is amended...
29.
29.3 to, was amended to reflect the contract cost of
$12,489.02.
I'll second that.
Any discussion? Seeing none? All in favor?
Russ.
Boyd.
Brian.
Pat.
Thank you.
Thank you. And just to add to this project, and I spoke with the chief a few days ago, and one of the other things that we could have Affinity do when they're in town, and I will confirm this, but I'm pretty sure it will be no charge, is have them walk through this building here and tell us what's LED and what's not.
Yeah.
All right. And like they did at the recycling center.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then they can give us some additional, this would have nothing to do with this contract, but they can say, well, we could do the town office building for this.
All right.
And we could do the parking lot for this. But we don't know what's included in the Eversource bill right now. So until we get that GIS assessment, we don't know.
Good.
But what I will do is ask them to do some additional assessments, and that will be on a separate project list that I will submit, or Clay and I will submit to the board, and just say, here, have a look at this and see if you want to add this to the project while they're in town.
Well, I don't know, either that or be ready for the budget.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's a perfect time to get it done.
Right.
Just
so we got the numbers come budget time, yeah.
Right. Have a look at it.
Yeah.
And then give us some additional list of projects they could work on. This particular streetlight project, they said they're extremely busy. They're doing other towns. They're working on Hudson right now. But they said they would probably get this done by Labor Day.
Oh.
So, provided we can get the GIS mapping done, then they can go ahead and plug us into the schedule for conversion that they're doing in other towns.
Who takes care of the Eversource rebate? Do we?
Affinity.
They'll apply for that?
They do
everything. Once it's completed, they must have to fill something out for Eversource.
Yes. And I'm working with George from Eversource and Affinity, and they said they're going to work together and they'll make sure the rebate, we don't have to do any...
And the check will come to Italian Candy. Right. Let's not forget that one.
No,
right. No, I'm not going to forget that one.
It'd be easy to forget.
Other questions?
Yeah. Are you going to have a list of where all those street lights are for us after, when it's all completed?
I would insist upon it.
Absolutely.
That would be good information to have.
Yes.
Because we don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
But they're doing a GIS mapping, and I don't know, because I've never done such a project, but I don't know what that GIS assessment will look like, how you tell where the locations are. Oh. And Eversource gave me some locations, pole numbers.
Yeah.
Have you looked at the poll numbers?
Yes.
Yeah, you can see them.
They make no sense
at
all.
Well.
They don't.
And they're not numbered in order. You
can't say. Of course not.
625M.
No.
Like, you don't know where
but
that
that's
is.
Why I'm sure they're going to give you a map, and it's going to be all
right.
Right.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah. Right. Right.
But I'll make sure we get something that's going to give us some
perfect
good information.
Perfect.
Good question, Linda.
Thanks, Al. Thank you, guys.
Sue has a question. Clay and Ray. And
Sue
Al
has a question.
Yeah. Okay.
She's on there.
Who?
Hi, guys. I've been on since the first presentation, and I didn't know
if anybody was looking at the screen to see that or not. I just wanted to give my support for this. Can you hear me, Patrick?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Who is it?
Okay. Okay, there's a bit of a delay, so I just wanted to, I was going to vote yes, so I don't know if you want it in the records or not, but I do support this.
Excellent.
Who is it?
Sue.
Oh.
Russ didn't know who you were.
Yeah.
No, I've been on since the start of week. I guess there was some technical difficulties here, but I've been on since the beginning of the meeting.
Well, they were using the screen, Sue, that's why.
Yeah.
DOT yeah. was using the screen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And just as, if I could have one follow-up, can we cut him a check?
It won't be till next week now.
Have him send us an invoice.
Oh.
Put it in the payables.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. When they send a contract, send an invoice with it.
Delay.
Yeah, get us an invoice this week so it can be paid.
For that partial payment or reflecting the whole bill and then the partial payment.
Right.
But it won't be processed now till next week.
Right. Thank you.
Good.
All right.
Staff emails.
I think we're going to table that until the next meeting.
Yes.
Until Block 5 can
well, I
be
guess
here to
I,
discuss it. Or?
I guess I don't quite understand. I thought it was a simple exercise of sharing the passwords just so you can have access to the emails. Is it more than involved in that, Patrick?
I'm not 100% sure because I wasn't here for any of that, so I have no idea about any of it.
Yeah, it is more detailed.
And why?
Well, it's more of, it's hard to explain it, but basically they don't recommend it because there's a lot more risk involved. So
well, I don't really care if they recommend it or not, to be honest with you.
Well, the thing is, I know Sue also talked to Block 5. So for right now, Lisa and Kevin each have their each other own emails. So she can see his, he can see hers. Donna and I have the same.
Because you share the password?
We didn't share a password. We asked Block 5 to go in
that
there.
That you're both on the same.
And then she shows up an email. I can see her emails.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, though, like Kevin was saying, there's also other things you need to factor in. He uses a iPad, he has his phone, everything hitched up to his email. So there's a greater risk of security and all that when you have everything tied into it. I can't explain the way that Block 5 did, but the more emails you have, the more susceptible you are of somebody hacking any of that.
I can't hear. She's breaking up. Do I need to get closer somewhere?
We can hear you.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Patrick. I didn't know can you hear my audio now?
Yeah.
Okay, because what she was saying was breaking up, but she's, I agree with you, Brian. I thought it was going to be an easy thing to do. And I think it can still be done, but there's another method. And again, Jason could explain it a lot better than I can. Because I think everything on town email is pretty well, unless it's with the attorney, it's public record anyway, or it should be, I believe. But Linda, can you give us an example? If somebody was out for an extended amount of time, mm-hmm. what would you do if you needed to access their email?
What would I do? I would call Block 5, and I would tell them someone is out right now. It's an emergency. Can you hitch me up to their emails? No problem. When that case comes up.
But you can't. See, it doesn't make sense in my mind. It's a simple process, but maybe that's just my mind.
I agree. I agree, Brian. I think.
So it's all if she has a password to access her emails, you have a password to access your emails.
No, it's not. No, that doesn't work by email. It doesn't work by password. It's a matter of Block 5 going in and just putting in a person's name, and then once you click on that, then you can see their emails. But there's more risk involved when you do that.
Well, we're talking about town employees. We're not talking about opening up to the correctional center.
Because all those emails have, let's say I look at Kevin or Lisa's emails, then we're susceptible to looking up. The town residents would know if they ever found out that, let's say, a building project, that I was going into Lisa's emails and I had access to all their information, then that's not a good, you know, a good process.
I believe that's public information.
Well, it's not so much like it would be anything to do with money. It would be anything to do with, let's say, their paychecks or their health. I can't explain the way that Block 5 can. I thought it was going to be a simple procedure myself, and after I talked to Block 5, they just threw me in a whole different world, and they can do it a lot better than I can. So.
If you can send me their contact, I'll reach out to them tomorrow and get
could you
a better idea.
Please simplify this.
She's right about some of those things, but I said to Jason, why is anybody having any of their personal information, such as a social security number or anything that's protected by HIPAA, sent to the town of Candia's email? Why isn't it going to their personal email? So Brian, I agree with you 100% on this, and we spoke for probably over an hour, and he did explain it. Once you have somebody's password, that same password is used to log on to their computer. So they have that, say the password is not now, that gets me into my computer and it also gets me into my town email. But I still don't see,
good to know.
I'm still questioning what the problem is with that.
Right.
Myself.
Can I add something to that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, when you do the Microsoft Office and log in, then you're on the desktop, you're not just looking at someone's email. You have access to, could be a grievance filed by an employee that another employee shouldn't see going to a supervisor. You can get into their Word docs. That's not a public document. That's a town, that's an employee personnel issue. But once you get that password, you see everything on their desktop screens, the way Block 5 has it set up. It's an initial thing to get into the computer that Block 5 gives us a password for.
No.
It's not just for the emails. Once you get on the screen, you can click on the Outlook. You can click on the documents. I may be having an issue with the selectman. I got something going on. So if I gave that password to Linda, she gets on, she has access to all that. She can look at an employee's evaluation. That's not right.
We should not be, nobody should be sharing passwords whatsoever, ever, never.
It's not
ever.
As simple as just having a password to go into an email file.
But it sounds like the email is managed through Outlook.
Yep.
And it just adds it as an additional tab.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Which shouldn't be a problem. I don't see why that would be a problem for...
They should be able to fix that, do that.
So you're going to reach out to them?
Yeah.
Is that acceptable to everybody
that.
Else?
Okay with that.
Sue, you all right with that?
Yeah,
go ahead.
I think he'll come to Zoom into the next meeting. He was going to this one, but I think he will gladly Zoom into the next meeting.
Okay. But you'll reach out to him
to
make sure that happens.
Yeah. Right.
Good. Thank you. Other business. Unless somebody had something on the old business.
I'd just like to say thank you to whoever was cleaning up exit 3 and the blue bags that were there over the weekend.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I mean...
Did you pick up more of them?
I didn't pick... The last time I picked them up...
The bottom fell out?
No. I thought I was doing a good deed, but they said... The women's club, I think it was, they said that the state is coming along to pick them up. So what I'm saying is, number one, whoever did it, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, good. All right, under new business or the other business, we have a letter here from a resident. I, Richard Dick Duhame, as a longtime resident of Candia and a veteran, am very interested in donating the United States flag and a solar light for the flagpole located at the Foss Memorial Park on Brown Road here in Candia. Providing this solar lighting complies with the requirements for displaying the flag on a pole, which would not require the flag to be removed at night and rehung daily. I would need someone else to install this solar lighting and flag, as I have some limitations due to the time I was in the armed forces. if you could let me know if my donation is accepted and determine how the process can be completed, I would very much appreciate it. Signed, Dickie Doohan. Everybody familiar with where he's talking down off of Brown Road and Palmer Road?
You know, I don't know. It sounds like he was looking for information for a light also.
No, he wants to donate the solar and everything.
He says it has to be shining onto the flag.
Correct.
Right. That, does he have the yes. light? He has it right
That's
now.
That's what it sounds like, yeah.
He has what's required. He just needs help installing it.
No, okay. I thought it sort of was, he wanted to have a light that would meet those qualifications. Yeah. So if he has it, fantastic. I was going to say.
I guess it's twofold, and if it's acceptable to the board.
Sure.
We could accept that and then determine who we could get to give him a hand. Is that anything, I hate to put you on the spot again, Jeff, but is that anything you could help out with, you think? Or?
How about Jake Labby on here? Is he available?
Perfect.
You see, he's our flag
guy. Yeah, I can talk with Dickie and get it done.
You know Dickie, Jake?
Yeah.
Okay. You don't mind doing that?
No, I can get a hold of him and do that.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
So, Mr. Chairman, can I move that we accept Mr. Doohan's donation with a flag and a solar light to be installed at Foss Park?
I'll second that.
Okay, the motion has been made and seconded. Any further discussion?
No, very much in favor.
All in favor?
Russ.
Boyd.
Brian.
Pat.
Sue.
Sue.
Ben Sue. All right, thank you. And send a letter, Linda. Thanking Dick and tell him that Jake will be in touch with him.
What's Jake's last name?
Labby.
L-A-B-B-E.
Thank you.
All right. I do have one other thing, and then I'll ask you if anybody's got anything. We have a letter from Judy Lindsay of the Conservation. And she would like to nominate, recommend adding Carol Howell and Tom DiMaggio. Is that it?
DiMaggio.
As members of the Candia Conservation Commission.
Are we expanding their membership, or is this to replace somebody who's left?
I believe it's to replace. It doesn't say if it's replacing, but it's for active members, so it's not alternates or anything.
I see. Want a motion?
Please.
That we approve Judy's recommendation and we appoint Carol Howe and Tom DiMaggio to the as full members of the Candia Conservation Commission.
I'll second it.
Okay, motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none. All in favor?
Aye. Russ.
Boyd.
Brian.
Pat.
Sue.
Good.
Brian, may I ask a question?
Absolutely.
Did you already do the minutes?
Yes, we did. Did you have something to change?
Yeah, I just wanted to make a correction. I was supposed to report to you guys about the garden.
Yeah.
And before exploring other options for the care of the town's trough and the town office building garden, I reached out to the garden club, and I'll be happy to report that they will be able to take care of the town office building gardens and the three troughs in the town.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
So I don't think we have to pursue any of that, and we'll be working on the Moore Park entrance. Steve was gracious enough to get all those dead shrubs out like that in time for the Honor Flight motorcycle parade this weekend, so I want to give a shout out to him. I really appreciate him doing that.
Yeah, Steve is our man, no doubt about it.
Oh, yeah.
And then one other question, if I may. No, two other, I'm sorry. The non-public meetings from the June 14th meeting, is that something that we were sent, or what?
We just approved.
Or was it just in our folder tonight? Or
it was in the folder tonight, yeah.
Okay. And finally, I just want to have a small plug, if I may. Cruise night Thursday, this coming Thursday, yeah. July 1st from 5 to 8. The funds raised are going to be for Honor Flight again, but there's going to be fireworks at dusk for the communities and the public and like that. I just wanted to let the animal owners know, and I'll put it on social media, but just to let them know that this Thursday at dusk, there'll be fireworks.
Perfect.
Yeah. Thank you.
Right, yeah, Russ was going to bring that up, actually.
Oh, sorry, Russ.
That's
no,
okay.
No, no.
It's all right. You stole his thunder.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Russ. You know I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Do we have any other business from anybody?
What about meeting tomorrow night?
Yep. If you want to make that announcement.
You go.
See?
Yeah.
Oh, just Russ wanted me to mention that we are having the safety facilities meeting again tomorrow night, 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock. Be there or be square. Authorize the payments. That's something.
Yeah, payroll for the week ending June 24th was $17,166.61. For July 1st, it was $17,405.13. Payables for June 24th were $29,634.26. July 1st, the payables were $924,227.22, of which the school got $900,000. For a combined total for the 2 weeks, payables and payroll, $1,035,234.09. I move the disbursements be authorized as read.
I'll second that.
No discussion. All in favor?
Russ.
Boyd.
Brian.
Pat.
And Sue.
And Sue. Good. Calendar. Town office will be closed July 4th on Monday, July 5th. And the next selectmen's meeting is going to be July 12th. Before we get to public input, if there is any, I did want to bring up a short discussion on continuing with the Zoom and get a feel from the board of how'd you like to proceed forward from this time.
Is it necessary?
The only thought I had was on public hearings, or if there was some special topic that we felt was going to have a lot of input on, that we make it maybe available for that. But as far as a regular basis, yeah.
I'd say we hardly have, well, Jake and Sue tonight, that's about it, right?
I know it's convenient in some cases, but I know the planning board brought it up, and they wanted to get input from the Board of Selectmen to see what our decision was going to be. And I mentioned the same thing at that meeting, that if it's a public hearing that we were having, or it was a topic that we knew was going to involve a lot of input, that, you know, to make the Zoom available would probably be a good idea.
On the other side of things, I think it's pretty convenient for, even if it's one or two people to access it. Some nights you see 10 or 11 people on there. It's pretty rare, but it's not, I mean, we already renewed our subscription for the year.
No.
So.
You renewed it.
You renewed it. Yeah. I didn't renew it.
Yeah. It was automatic.
Yeah, I know. You get caught like that, it's easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I would like to, you know, for this committee tomorrow evening, if we get more and more people aware of what's happening, they might be turning on. We want that input, so that might be very beneficial for the safety end of it, definitely. Because more people are aware that we're going to be doing something, it's to our benefit. Mm. And it was, you know.
I think it's to our benefit for people to be able to have any avenue possible to get involved. It would be really nice to get people more involved.
Yeah, I agree, Patrick.
No.
100%. I don't see why we'd stop doing it if it could involve the public. What's the purpose of not doing it? We have to be there anyway, or... And if somebody can't make it, such as tonight's an example, why is it bad? Why can't we just keep it? Sometimes we'll have something come up under other that's kind of a hot button issue that people might want input on. I'm not sure why we'd stop it. The equipment's paid for, what is it, $199 a year? You know, for the license, I don't know why we'd stop it.
Now, those two white squares up there, are they supposed to be on there?
Well, I couldn't get it to go back to where it was, so I just left it.
That's what I'm saying is because, I'm looking.
No, I think to answer your question, no, they don't need to.
They don't need to be on there.
Okay, I know, that's why it's just, because I didn't know Sue was on there.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we've already made the investment in the screen. Patrick's renewed our subscription for a year. It costs nothing to do it, right? So, I mean, if it accommodates some people, it gets people involved, Sue's got a good point. I mean, I don't need it. You don't need it, but, I don't see the point, but.
Well, I just too want to encourage people to show up as the governor suggested to.
Right.
Show up in person.
Well,
I encourage that as well.
Yeah. Okay.
So we're going to let it go for a while? And keep.
I guess.
Well.
It might be beneficial come wintertime.
How?
More than this. Why? Because people don't want to leave their homes.
Yeah, when the road agent's zooming in because you're trying to drive on the road.
You got Wi-Fi in the truck, you use your hotspot and your phone and call in and report.
That would be a good one, you know that?
Okay, guys, you can go home, Chester Turnpike is plowed.
Well, you can tell him it's
sitting at Chivers Pond right now, so I'm just
going to say, oh. It doesn't sound like an emergency, so.
This room is air conditioned. You can come in the summer.
All right, so I guess the consensus is we leave it for now.
Okay.
All right, we did the calendar. Any other public input? Just a talkative bunch tonight, aren't we? I do have a short non-public, and it's going to be RSA 91-A:32C.
I move to suspend the public session.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, everybody.
And to go in.
Jeff, you didn't have anything for us, did you?
I didn't. No.
Okay.
That's Ronnie Severino's hat from last week.
That was yours.
Leave it here for tomorrow.
Yeah, leave it here because he'll be here tomorrow night.
Okay. Good night, all. Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
So, Rush, you started making the motion.
Yes.
Who's going
to second it? And who seconds that?
Make the motion
I'll
again.
I'll second that.
Okay. She's got a dollar ready.
Oh, to go into non-public?
Right.
All right.
Adjourn this public and go to.
So.